For the MCAS training, Joel, everyone was looking at next Tuesday, the 22nd, in the evening. Yeah. Are you available at that?
No, I'm not available at any of the times, actually, that you have. So I'll be in North Carolina from the 22nd to the 25th, and okay. I'll be in Des Moines, Iowa from the 28th to the 30th.
It was virtual.
Oh, it's virtual?
Yeah.
Oh, then I can make it up, yeah.
Okay.
These are just this one MTAS training, right?
Yeah, the MTAS training is virtual. The one in December will be virtual as well. But yeah, Mike is going to do his via Zoom. So if it's okay with everybody, I'll tell him Tuesday at the 9:22 at 7 p.m. Is that?
9:22 at 7 p.m.?
Yeah.
Sure.
Does that sound okay?
Perfect.
All right. We're going
to
work.
Is MTAS training open to the public for the Zoom call as well?
Let's leave that to, or you mean, is it going to be live streamed?
I do not know. I'll ask him. That'll be up to MTAS.
I think a training session by nature
of it. You're not discussing legislation, so I do not know.
I think it's fine. The public doesn't have to be part of that.
Well, because if you're in a training session and you're being observed by the public, you're not as likely to be comfortable asking questions that, you know what I mean, that you might need the answer to. I'll ask stupid questions.
let's power through this packet very quickly. A lot of it's going to be self-explanatory, so it won't really require a whole lot of discussion. The first one is just appointing a mayor for a 2-year term. You probably already know from the charter. You can read the charter. The Board of Commissioners can, at some point in the future, if you want to put a referendum on the ballot to allow the citizens to determine whether they will popularly elect a mayor or not, you have that ability at some point in the future. So there's probably no rush on that, but you are that's something that you may want to have a discussion about at some point in the next few months, whether the mayor continues to be an appointee of the commission or whether you wish to convert, it's basically converting one of the commissioner positions into a mayor position.
Don't we have to appoint the mayor though in order to move forward with planning?
This has to happen
okay.
At your first meeting. Appointing a mayor. Yeah, I'm just talking about for the future, whether you want to have an elected mayor or not. Yeah. So that one, the second one is the same thing. It's for a vice mayor. Go ahead.
Because that came up with Larry's seat. So, how does that work? Somebody says, I nominate Derek to be the mayor. Somebody says, I second that nomination.
I read section 66 of Robert's Rules yesterday, and as I understand it, as long as it doesn't conflict with state law, and Corey can tell me, but per Robert's Rules, there should be a nomination. There does not have to be a second for a nomination, according to Robert's rules. And then you vote up or down on the nomination. There can be multiple nominations, but you vote on them in the order in which they come in. Because that's Robert's rules and not state code, you can probably adopt a different process if you so choose. But that's how Robert's rules is spelled out.
The state code is really vague. It just says the commission elects a mayor. So that Robert's rule is probably the best guidance you're going to get is if you want to make several nominations and then vote on them.
And the first one, per Robert's rules, the first one that passes ends the discussion. So there wouldn't be any subsequent votes after that.
So you would... Let's say you nominate two people as an example. Then you vote on the first one that was nominated, and if that one passes, then
it's over.
You're done. Okay, right. Got it.
So I have a few things here. It's somewhat of a layered question. I certainly need to know when I have legal counsel available to me as a commissioner, because I'm going to have questions based not specifically on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I already do, or if I have to wait until I'm sworn in, or if I wait until the first meeting to be able to specifically discuss things that are an item to me. So do we know the answer to that right now?
I would say that because I represent the town and you are future commissioners, you're going to be voting on this first meeting, you know, before you're sworn in, that you can talk now, you know.
Okay.
I've talked to you as well.
And now at any point in time over the next couple of weeks.
Right.
And I want to let you know that Greg has set up everyone's email, so when we leave here, I'll email you all how to log in, and then you can send it from your official town email. So any questions if you don't want to ask me here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about personal devices and communications and open records and keeping separate and all of that?
I second that.
I guess that question's to me. So you are... You're subject to the Sunshine Law, so that means, like, y'all know, no talking to each other about things that can be, that you could be voting on, you know, like, you're also not supposed to have the appearance of impropriety, so, like, if three of you decide to go to, you know, lunch after this, be careful, because there can be citizens there that, even if you are saying, we're only talking about our kids and sports and things like that, you know, you're the public body now, so you're... The appearance matters. Your personal devices, I think, are off limits. There's probably, you know, a lot that's debatable with that. If you're conducting city business, it's a fine line. So you will have your separate, you know, your emails. Your email is public. Whatever you put through that email with, you know, Town of Nolensville address on it is a public document. When, you know, we all would communicate with you. It's okay for us to give information to you all in one, like, here's the Sunshine Law. Everybody gets it. You cannot reply all. You can reply to a staff member, or you can apply to a city attorney, but you can't have a communication with each other ever.
I'm just gonna interrupt, I'm sorry, but that is not, it's just historically it seems like y'all communicated via email with each other, like you were all involved in email correspondence. And I'm not saying one thing right or wrong, I'm just, that's going to be a different precedent, right, going forward, quite different than what we've all seen before.
Well,
okay, I just want to make sure.
What we've been told is we can email people, other board members, information. So if I'm pursuing some policy, we know it's going to be coming up on the agenda, on the next agenda, and I have some information everybody needs to be able to make educated decisions, you can do that. You can't reply back and discuss it. I can just say, here's...
Is it best practice going forward, though, to write that through Donald?
Yes.
And, well, okay. When we would do that, I would always CC, when we didn't have a town administrator, it was just Bob, notice time, we'd CC him, but... Yeah, it's, you send it to everybody, and then no discussion happens. It's just here. It's the information you'll need to make a good decision. That's the most.
So are we saying, though, that we're going to do that? Are we going to route it through Donald and let him disseminate it? To me, that's one extra layer of protection, is I would send it to you, and then you would, in turn, send it to all of the board members so that we have a consistent approach.
That's going to be up to you. With the cities that I've worked with, the city manager or town manager is... That would be the correct approach. You
okay.
Send to him, and then he just gives out information.
I feel more comfortable with that, so I just, you know what I mean? Like, I want to make sure that the way that we're moving forward provides transparency and that we're protecting ourselves as well as the town.
Right.
One other question, just so we all hear the answer. I've been in the scenario where something isn't up for a vote yet, but could potentially hit the agenda in the next few months. Are we allowed to have a one-on-one conversation about that?
I would say no.
Right.
But, you know, the Sunshine Law, the way this works is that if you violate it, your vote's invalidated.
Right.
So if it's not actually on the agenda, there's no harm, but you really shouldn't be discussing any item that could come up for a vote at all.
I've done that wrong. So I'm probably done a lot of things wrong. I'm not smart that day wrong. Nothing that tempting, but sometimes you're trying to. I mean, it's that idea again. How to get the best decisions without them being tried in the court of public opinion and manipulated and everything, so that you can't even. And it's hard to do. You know, beer ordinance. I spoke with you about beer ordinance because I'm like, if we decide to do a beer ordinance, we can't talk about it. So let's talk about whether we would ever want a beer ordinance and what that would look like. Because once we set it as a voting issue, and I wasn't trying to do anything wrong, to my understanding, that's, you know, you're just trying to figure out, like, is this something even worth it? But what you're telling me is...
it's discouraged.
It's discouraged.
Well, I would say, probably what happens is people, if you accidentally violate the Sunshine Law, have that conversation in the open when your next available time is. Like, again, I'm not recommending that y'all talk to each other about any issues, but it's easy to remedy the violation, you know, coming forward and talking about all of those things so that everything is transparent. But going forward, I would recommend, like, the route y'all talked about, running things through Donald and then disseminating information instead of discussing in private. And I don't know what y'all done in the past and what you plan to do on moving forward, but if you have study sessions, like, this is not a study session, this is a training, you know, but in a study session, or work session, different towns call them different things, you would come together and you would go over these agenda items and have an explanation of what they are, have an opportunity to talk to staff and, you know, work through, ask questions and get more information, and then you don't do your discussing until the voting meeting.
The work sessions, you know, we didn't have those before Scott Collins, and that was a game changer,
right?
Because it did give us that, like, they made it, because I couldn't figure out how you even figured anything out. So they're really helpful.
Speaking of the work sessions, something that I observed when I was watching them is they would happen the week after
the
voting meeting.
That needs to change.
And I was like, that is so backwards.
Right.
Why are you not having
right.
a work session before you take the vote?
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because then you can get all that information out and have those discussions, and then you go in and vote.
Right.
So is that going to, we can change that, right?
Yeah, so we'll get to,
okay.
We have an ordinance on meeting days and times in a second,
great.
And we'll talk at that point about
okay.
Work sessions as well.
Okay, awesome.
The next one is, this one's just, again, procedure thing. This is to allow ordinance captions to be read as opposed to having to read the entire text of an ordinance. Your charter requires you to, if you want to read captions, you have to pass an ordinance to do that.
Okay.
Otherwise, we will have very lengthy meetings of long ordinance readings. The next is a resolution that would appoint James Peterson as the municipal judge. He is currently the municipal judge, and I would hope, as long as no one has any major issues or complaints, that that he would continue in that role. We do have to also pass an ordinance establishing pay for him, correct? Right. So I need to we'll write that up and get it on the agenda as well. Let me write that down.
Is there a term for that appointment?
For the judge, the term is till until he leaves or until you reappoint someone.
He serves at the will of the board.
Yeah.
Okay. So if he decides he wants to go, or if we determine that, not that we would, but
right,
okay.
Right, you would do this resolution just appointing someone different.
Okay.
The next one is for a town manager. We'll skip that for a while and come back to it. The next one is for your days, times, and place. So I believe that the charter reads the first and third Thursdays at 8 p.m. or something like that. It was obviously established for people in the Eastern time zone. That's your default meeting time unless you choose to change it. So our meetings have been on the first Thursday at 7 p.m. That's what the Board of Mayor and Aldermen did. It will be up to y'all to determine how you want to meet, how often you want to meet. There's some thought that maybe early on you want to meet a little bit more often than once a month, and then at some point later perhaps level back off to once a month, or I have no idea. But this ordinance can be changed, so if you do decide that you want to do something more frequent or whatever for a while, you can do that and then go back and amend this. You can do what Murfreesboro does. Murfreesboro has a standing meeting for the city council every single week. That's how they establish, that's what their ordinance reads, but they cancel them as needed, and they end up only meeting once or twice a month, but they just keep a standing meeting every single week. I wouldn't go that far extreme, but that's just to tell you some ideas of sort of how you can arrange your meeting schedule.
Is it Brentwood does, like where the first meeting they set the agenda?
Yeah, so Brentwood, the city manager of Brentwood meets with the board for an agenda setting meeting, and they operate a little bit differently maybe than some other cities. He does not just place items on an agenda because a commissioner asks for it. He only places items on an agenda when a majority of the commission asks for it. And so he has to have a meeting for that to make that determination as to what goes on the actual meeting agenda.
I kind of see that as your vote has to pass twice.
Right.
And it's probably much less visibility to the public. So I'm not a huge fan of voting on it. I don't mind having a public meeting to discuss what we want on the agenda, but I would trust the town manager to filter out what's not necessary right now and work with the individual to say, this, you know, we have a lot of other pressing issues. This one maybe should wait a month or two, or for whatever reason, this one has to wait a few months, you know, versus a vote that gets political.
Right. And so that process that you just described is the process I'm familiar with. And so when I met with him and heard that, I was like, that's interesting. Okay. that's very different than what I'm accustomed to. What do they do in Mount Pleasant?
City manager
sets the agenda.
So they do have a study session before the meeting, like a week before the actual voting meeting. And I've never seen anything added because of that, but if there's nobody even wants to talk about an item, you know, it could be removed. Or if the staff says we're not ready yet for this thing, then it could be removed from the agenda. But
here's a question. Adding something to the agenda the day of the meeting, at the start of the meeting. Like I've seen in Robert's Rules where you adopt the agenda at the beginning of the meeting.
Right.
Is that legal? Can we put new business on the agenda the day of the meeting?
Depends on what your publication looks like. Generally, if you're going to be voting on something, it needs to have been published. So I don't know if you publish your entire agenda or if you just publish we're having a meeting. Generally, I would say not to add items the day of the meeting.
What about adding a resolution versus an ordinance? But wouldn't be treated any differently.
No. A public hearing with that would come with ordinance, you most definitely can't do it that way because it's specifically published.
Is that something that you're wanting to do? You're wanting to have that flexibility, or?
Yes, I like the thought of adopting the agenda at the beginning of the meeting, and for us to all be able to say, no, let's move this to the front, let's kick this to the end, let's move some things around. We need to add one thing that needs to be discussed that has come up quickly, and we need to be able to react. You know, and not necessarily like, hey, I want to amend the zoning ordinance and put this thing in, like that, right? Like, I get that, but if I want to have a roads discussion and I'd like to put that on the agenda and I've been told no, is there a process that I could do?
So,
discussion items sound like they would be different though than resolutions and ordinances, right?
Yeah, that's, I mean, you have the ability to talk about whatever you want, just not vote on them.
Okay, so discussion items should be fine. But again, no resolutions.
I can look into
ordinances.
That and see if
okay.
I can give you a better answer. But as far as like rearranging the agenda, saying, okay, we've got somebody here to speak for item that's number 12, like can we vote to move this to the top so that this person can speak and we're not wasting their time. Like, absolutely, you can do that. You can rearrange the agenda, but what you're asking, I think, is more specifically about adding an item that you would like to vote on
to the agenda.
I like, I understand the idea of the flexibility, but part of the trust that we have with each other and the trust is in the process itself.
Sure.
And it is, if I'm walking into a meeting and having something sprung on me that night that I'm being asked, even sometimes to discuss. Now, I can say, I can make them, like, I can shut down that discussion through Robert's rules and say, we're going to table this discussion until we've all had time to research it.
Sure.
And we'll all have to trust each other to get the information before the meetings, but I won't do that to you all. I won't come to a meeting and say, tonight I'm going to throw this on that, and you haven't heard anything about it, and in this moment I'm going to spring it on you, because I'm setting you up. I mean, I don't want to do that.
I do think, though, that there is a time and a place where we need to be able to add things. So think outside the box a little bit, right? Like, if there's some sort of disaster, flooding, tornadoes, things that may be happening in town that we didn't plan for before the meeting, but we need to have a discussion about how we need to move forward with that. So things like that, I think we do need to have that flexibility so that, and that's just the easy ones I can think of off the cuff that might require us to have some sort of discussion and planning, that we need some of that flexibility, but I hear what you're saying as well.
And if it is a thing that everybody would not feel comfortable discussing, I would expect it to get voted down when trying to put it on the agenda at the beginning. That it's not a guarantee that, yeah, we're just going to put this on there because one person wants it, right?
It sounds good. I've also been in that situation where you want to shut it down so you have time to research it, and the way it plays to the public who doesn't understand is, you don't want to talk about this. Like,
sure.
You're trying
sure.
to, you know, and and then I have to do double the work trying to explain to people, no, nobody had this information until this moment.
Sure.
You want us to make good decisions, not the fastest. So the process is really set up to protect us all. And so I feel like I'm always flexible, and there's several times where I'm like, yeah, I'll put it on there. But the consistency is very helpful to me. I just want to know what to expect.
I expect this to never even come up, but I wanted to ask the questions to know what the
yeah.
what the real process is and what we know we can and cannot do.
I'll look into that a little more. Also, just one tidbit. You can always call, you have the power to call a special meeting.
Right.
So some of these, like, you know, these major disasters and things like that, there's
right.
an urgency. The town can call a special
yeah.
meeting where you have, you lay out in the paper, on the website, exactly
right.
what you want to talk about.
It's two commissioners?
It's two commissioners, the mayor or the manager.
Yeah.
Any of those can call a special
so
meeting.
So you can have that meeting. So you can't throw it, you definitely can't throw in stuff at that meeting, but you can talk about
the one issue that you need
issue.
To come together.
Because
right.
the two commissioners are supposed to call a special meeting without ever talking
right.
to each other.
Right.
About calling, I have a special right. meeting about calling a special meeting. Crazy.
Well, so I guess that's a great question. Would that be one of those things where if you feel like we need to do this, we come to Donald?
Yeah.
Because I would think that would be reserved for unusual events, you know,
funny,
or
yeah.
things that we're hearing from the public. And if he gets two emails, magically.
I think if the manager got one, the thing to do would probably be to send an email to the rest of the members and just ask, is there anyone else who
yeah.
would who would approve
we're
of
not discussing
this?
Something
right.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Vote. I mean, we're
yeah.
not discussing
right.
this, you know.
Okay.
And
I
ultimately,
think it's a different kind of discussion. Yeah.
All of this is about public trust. It's making sure that we are following the law and
yeah.
honoring the spirit of that. And I think everybody here is supportive of that and on board with that.
Yeah, for sure.
So with that one, this is something to think of between now and the first, is sort of what youth meeting schedule looks like to you. If you want to send me ideas by email that then I can generate back out to each of you individually and get thoughts on it, feel free to do that.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Will they also talk about the times for the work session, or is this just generally the meeting?
So I think probably we need to get the meeting schedule first
okay.
and then go back and schedule the work session around the meetings is what I think probably needs to
one additional thought I'd like to throw in there. If it's possible to always make the Planning Commission the following Wednesday, it's because it has that weird, like I think in October, where you skip and it goes to the third week because we start on Thursday. It's not the second Wednesday.
Gotcha.
It's the third, you know, the second Wednesday's
gotcha. She'll be putting the planning commission calendar together here in the next month or so.
Like everybody gets so used to BOMA's Thursday, the following Wednesday's planning commission, except for like every fourth month. It's like, you know.
Okay. It's so planning commission, if you go through state code, the planning commission has certain time frames that they have to act on certain applications, and that's how every fourth month everything gets thrown off, is because you're trying to work on, depending on what it is, a 45-day time frame or a 30-day time frame or whatever. And so every year when we go through and create those calendars, we have to be very careful about how we do that.
Okay, so then let me ask this question. Since we're not supposed to really be talking outside of this, can we go ahead right now and talk about meeting times? Because I want to have that discussion sooner than later about how frequently you want to meet. We don't have to make all the decisions, but just getting an idea of what everybody's thinking. I don't have strong opinions. I'm mostly just trying to get my brain wrapped around what our lives are about to look like.
Yeah, it would be helpful to me too, so I can go ahead and start scheduling, like get all that stuff plugged in. And
are you all good with 2 meetings and a workshop? Is everybody full? That's necessary. Like just starting, we can change it later. Do you think less or more? Like,
I would start with 1 right now. We've got a lot to do. We've got a lot to talk about. You know, who's going to be, what member is going to be on the planning commission, for example. If that's the case, when we're meeting. I mean, so I just think it's too much right now, personally. I'd rather start with 1 meeting on October 1st. I'm okay with setting a monthly meeting right now, whether it's remaining the first Thursday of every month, but. And then just continue on, like, discussing this on that first meet, you know, like, okay, we're going to have a second meeting this month or in another workshop or...
Well, there are noticing provisions for special call meetings, so unless
sure.
it's an emergent...
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to talk about that or...
Right, so I think what you're saying is at the October meeting, you would discuss whether you're going to have 1 or 2 meetings per month going forward to set in the ordinance. And I think what she's saying is trying to get a feel for what's going on today.
Yeah, I would say, I think with as much business as we're gonna have to get through for the first 90 days with this being a new charter, and there are a lot of ordinances and resolutions, and they may be pretty quick, they may be relatively simple, but if you've sat through a BOMA meeting, you know that if I'm looking at this as an agenda right now, and we start at 7, we're gonna be there till midnight, easily. So I would prefer that we set 2 meetings a month, maybe for the first 90 days, and then like reevaluate after that. That's just
and
my
thought. And the ordinance takes 2 readings to change, so.
Yeah, and that way we could get business done faster for the town and get things set up. If we set 2 meetings a month right now, we could have all of this stuff organized and put together by the 1st of November with a lot of it.
So I want to do that for a short term, so not for a year. Like, I'm not going to say, you know.
Well, that's what I said.
Yeah.
We can amend
it. We can amend it.
Just trying
it
to get it, like, here, starting out.
Yeah.
Just because if we wait till that first night to decide
yeah.
more meetings, that
exactly.
meeting like, has got a lot packed into it.
But October has to be 1, right? Because it's 2 readings for the ordinance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't be November. That would be 2nd reading, and then we could potentially have a...
Well, can we do a special meeting to pass the second reading
yeah.
of...
The, okay, there's
so,
like...
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's how...
The
so that, maybe that's how it has to
you
be set up.
You can't pass any ordinance in less than 30 days. That's not possible.
Okay.
So if you do something by special meeting, you got to wait 15
okay.
days after it. I have to look at the rules, but there's going to be a time
okay.
constraint that you can't... can't shrink it too much, like you can't pass it
okay
pass the first reading on October 1st and then pass it second reading on a special meeting on like the 7th, like that won't work, but if that's what you're looking into,
so really most of the stuff won't take effect then until December anyway,
right?
See, I was under the impression that all you needed was public notice between meetings, enough time for public notice between
yeah, especially
meetings.
If
so
it's a regularly
scheduled. Why is it 30 days?
There is a time frame in the charter between a first and a second reading
okay.
That has to occur.
Probably
right.
to allow
but not,
public.
I remember reading it the
right.
other day.
Right, and
yeah.
it's not, but I don't think it, I mean, I just wonder why 30 days it came out.
Well, if it's, I think there's also a 15-day after it's over that has to wait until it goes into effect. I'll look at it, but it, you couldn't do it in like a really short time, so it, you can't pass. I think a special, something that passes at a special meeting has a time period that it has to wait until it goes into effect. But I'll look into that and tell you exactly how quickly you can do it. But it, there are some time constraints as far as passing things back and back.
But if we did have the two meetings, then we can have first readings for some of these things and then have another first reading at the, so you're getting a setup for the first of the year then for 2021 to have a lot of stuff in place that needs to be to get to, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What are your all's recommendations for this?
Yeah, so if you want to meet twice a month, let's look at it. I think you can vote on this ordinance on the first, call a special meeting for some point later in the month, as long as we meet the, yeah, vote at that point. And a lot of these other ordinances, you could get those knocked out as well. Again, these are organizational in nature, so hopefully they're not too big of a deal. You can pass those at that special meeting. Corey can determine whether you can legitimately waive the emergency clause on some of them legitimately invoke the emergency clause on some of them. And then hopefully by November you can have two, you would be able to have two meetings with without having to one of them be a special called meeting. Let us do a little bit further investigation on what the charter says with regard to those time frames. I'm a huge fan of the emergency clause, which enacts ordinances as soon as second reading is done. Attorneys are never big fans of them. So
what's the cutoff date prior to any of our meetings to have something added to the agenda, just to be clear?
I don't have one really right now. I would like to set one if possible. I like to post it at least online the Friday before the meeting, which was on Thursday. So sometimes I get it that Friday, you know, and then I have to scramble. But I would like to set it maybe for the Tuesday before the Friday that I post, or the Wednesday, right? You know, or something.
It's like 10 days ahead of time.
Yeah.
So 10 days. Well, it's not in writing, but I certainly don't want to make anything harder for you or anybody, but I'll try if, you know, there's something,
yeah.
I'll try.
And if there's something emergency, I mean, there's been times I've called it. I mean, I'm here for you, so if there's something that really needs to be done, we'll complete it all.
And just my two cents on the overall schedule, which is, I think what you wanted is, what do we think about the schedule? And so just hearing that there needs to be 15 days between first and second reading might throw this off entirely, but as husband and dad with three kids, I know we're all busy. We've always scheduled all of our family things the last 2 weeks of the month, knowing that the first 2 weeks are, I'm doing all kinds of town stuff, you know, from going to meetings and Zooms and all the stuff. So I like that schedule and keeping things front loaded on those first 2 weeks, but it sounds like that wouldn't even be possible to do it that way.
I will look into exactly the timing you'll need for agenda items and the timing you would need for passing ordinances and resolutions, and send y'all a document about that. But I don't know any cities, I'm sure there are, that do two voting meetings per month.
Yeah. I'm thinking that it seems like a lot, and I think if we just had a workshop to get most of the discussion out of the way, the meeting will be 45 minutes. I mean, I watched a Fairview meeting yesterday that had 19 items on it, and the YouTube video is 12 minutes long. I kid
Whoa.
You not, like, they flew through this thing.
So maybe we spend more time then on the workshop meeting beforehand and figuring that part out.
I mean, there was no discussion. The voting meeting
because
was
because they already
zero
had
discussion.
That.
Right.
Okay. I'm down for that.
So you want to look at doing this the first Thursday of each month at 7 p.m., which is basically
sure.
What?
I'm fine with that.
I say keep it for the consistency of the town too.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's no real reason to move it to another day or time.
I guess that's what I was getting at. We've got a lot. You know, this is obviously like a pretty major event. This isn't a normal, you know, changeover. This is pretty big, so we want flexibility. We're all going to be working hard. We want some flexibility in when we're going to be, you know, whatever it is that's going to come. You know,
I also like I would rather have a 6-hour marathon session and get it all done than to have to do another night of prep and then another. It's because it's a big event to prepare for the BOMA meetings. I like knocking everything out in one. It's just my personal opinion. But
all I wanted to do was have this discussion right now instead of wait till October 1st to have this discussion.
Agreed.
So I just want to hear, I'm flexible in whatever we decide.
Agreed. Great. So the next one is adopting an order of business for meetings. You can look at section 1. This is based on personal experience as well as looking at the two models I used for a lot of these, by the way, were Brentwood and Mount Juliet. Just FYI, those are the two fairly well-functioning manager commission governments, and so I used them a lot. But this is an order that makes sense to me, but I'm definitely open to changing it however you'd like.
Yeah, the first thing obviously that jumps out at me is the prayer and the pledge. I personally am not a person that, I'm Christian, but I don't like to pray publicly. I feel like it's insincere, and I like my prayers are personal, so I do think we should still do the pledge. It would be my personal preference that if we wanted to pray or anybody wanted to say a prayer with me, I'm happy to like do it in the back room before we start.
You can call for a moment.
Where are you looking at this on section 1?
It's not in there. The prayer
right
and the pledge
here.
Is not in there.
So a lot of cities do a prayer and a pledge, but it's typically not, from what I've gathered from my research, it's not codified in your, it's just considered part of the call to order. That was when I was researching, so that's why I didn't include it. It could or could not be however y'all would like to do.
I've never understood this separation of church and state. Our meetings with prayer.
Yeah.
So
I'm totally happy to do it. I won't want to be the one that says a prayer. If anybody wants to be the dedicated person that says a prayer every time, that's I'm fine with that. But that's just my personal preference.
Terrible at prayers in public, but I don't know that I'd want to eliminate them. No. And that's in the first meeting of our first new charter to do that. Something that's been kind of a historic precedent.
Sure.
I would be happy to volunteer to do it if nobody else wants to do it. If we feel like that should be kept there, it doesn't bother me to do it. So
it also could be an opportunity to, it doesn't have to be led by a commissioner.
Right.
So the prayer could be an opportunity for people from the community to come in and do that.
Yep, love that.
That's actually a good idea.
Let's play devil's advocate. Think of all the ways that could go wrong.
That's
good
another
point.
Another good point.
In my head, this sounds terrible. Christian too. Love God, whatever, but what function does the prayer, again, we are asking for diversity, we're begging for diversity, and so the historical precedent of setting a meeting with one particular faith's prayer system is, that's a precedent that we all have to own. We have to say we think that should be there or we think it should not be there. Because everything's a historical precedent that we're doing right now. So
it's true.
I personally think we could almost do, we all can start the meeting with a prayer, our own prayer.
It
doesn't need to
be
we can do whatever we want, and we probably all will be praying before the meeting.
I'll be praying during the meeting too.
Exactly. So I'm kind of with Derek on this one that I don't want to lead it, and I also see it as an opportunity for us to just set a new precedent that gives people their individual choice to pray before or hearing. But we are in a fairly Christian community, and people will say that's...
People are going to have something to say about it if it's not there, for sure.
They will.
So, which is fine. I just want to make sure that that's stated.
What if we just notate some items that we want to kind of talk about it further, let Donald continue down this, and then we'll bring it up on the back end, I don't want to keep anybody's time, too much longer day, so we'll maybe notate some of these specific talking points and let you get through the remainder of...
Yeah, let me and I appreciate that. Let me quickly follow up. If even if you, whether you want to keep the it sounds like the pledge is in, whether you want to keep the prayer or not, do those need to be cut? Do you believe those need to be codified in this order of business, or can they just be considered part of the call to order for the meeting?
Part of the call
is that,
to order.
Is that okay?
Yes, that's,
okay.
That's a great idea.
Okay. Okay. Is the rest of this, does the rest of this make sense? This continues to capture the comments from commissioners, which is something that we started with BOMA a few months ago that I've really liked, and I think citizens have liked a lot. This does include the approval of the agenda right up front. This does, if you read down some of the sections below, this does continue our new tradition of staff and committee reports being submitted in writing. But again, department heads and so forth will be available if you have any questions for them. Okay.
And are the comments from commissioners, is that the opportunity for a commissioner to respond to a citizen comment? Is that
you can, yes, you can utilize that time however you would like. You can do that. You can prompt a discussion on something if you would like. You can tell everybody have a great holiday, or I've seen them used in so many different ways, and they're really good opportunities for you to be able to communicate directly with the citizens or with your fellow commissioners.
Okay.
Moving on to the next one, this is an ordinance adopting all of the existing obligations, rights, and laws. This is something that you have to do in order for our code to carry over and for all of our debts and contracts and all of those kinds of things to carry over as well. Okay, the next one is establishing salaries. So under TCA, the mayor's salary shall not exceed $500 per month and the salaries of commissioners shall not exceed $450 per month. That does not mean that those are, that you have to set those amounts. It's up to you, but those are the ceilings. So I have, as you can see, sections one and two are blank because that is really at the will of the commission.
I personally think it should be the same, whatever we set it to. I think kind of the whole spirit of the charter change was to make this a board of five people. So I wouldn't want to make them different. I also had thought about tying it to the number of meetings to encourage more activity from the board, but when there's a cap, I think that's kind of an irrelevant argument there at that point. I think we make $389, I think, is what I get a month now.
So that sounds right.
After taxes.
After
taxes,
yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's 425 or
okay.
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 Yeah, okay.
Do you want to keep it consistent with what it was for the Board of Mayor and Alderman?
I don't think it should go up.
Okay.
Yeah, not with all the staff needs and everything that we have, I think it should remain the same.
Does that work?
I mean, yeah, I'm fine with that. I would like to maybe make the mayor's the same as the commissioner's, which is $75 less.
Yeah, I believe it was either $450 or $425, but it might be $450. I'll double check.
Yeah, I agree.
The mayor's
with that.
Was $500
previously.
Okay.
What's the only other thing the mayor does outside of planning commission? They only have to go to like the mayor's breakfast, right?
They sign all of these ordinances, resolutions, and contracts.
Okay. It should be the same.
And run the meeting.
And run the meeting. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So we'll just be consistent, but lower the mayor's down to what the okay. Got it. The next one is just formalizing, establishing the departments, and this is one that Christina touched on earlier. You will notice under section 1, 4, and 5, I want to pull apart finance and human resources. At this point, if I were the manager, I would appoint Christina to be the department head of both of those departments. We have not funded a second director for that, and so that's the capacity she serves in now. But as you can see, this is moving toward probably with the next budget year, creating a director of HR position. We have been told repeatedly in audits we have to stop doing what we're doing, and so I think we need to follow that and respect that.
Is that for segregation of duties?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Otherwise, all of the departments are the same. Section 2 shows you in your charter, you have 4 specific departments for whatever reason that are called out in the charter. And so I'm showing you what the equivalent department is here. The next one you can remove. Neither Corey nor Alicia like it, so it's out. It's out. It conflicts with the charter, and so it is out.
It is a question that we have to talk about.
Yes.
Today. Whenever, is there another spot where you want to talk about?
About which one?
What happens if the town manager goes away, quits?
Yeah. So. What I'm accustomed to is in both Murfreesboro and Franklin, and Franklin does not function under this charter. They function under a different type of charter. But when the city manager is away, generally the city manager would designate an acting manager during that time. That is not provided for in the charter. The Board of Commissioners actually appoints. My recommendation would be that even if informally, if we take this resolution away, that you still vest that authority informally in the town manager and allow the town manager to name who is going to be handling things while the town manager is out of town or on vacation or whatever the case may be. I totally understand, both Corey and Alicia pointed out that with this resolution, you could run into a bizarre situation where the town manager resigns and names somebody right before they resign and you're stuck with that person and then you have to take action on that person. And so maybe you don't want to do that. So maybe it's more of an informal arrangement. Are you okay with informal arrangements?
I am.
Good.
I think if the board wanted to appoint somebody as a backup, in one of these bizarre scenarios, to maybe appoint a specific position at the city, like the town recorder is now the interim city manager, or the planning director, or whoever, or a specific person if you want to do that. But I would think a position there'll always be somebody in that position.
Yeah. To me, that's something I've been thinking a lot about is, I mean, again, for Derek and I, that comes out of a system where there wasn't anything in place. And so when you lose that, the staff loses all the momentum, all the direction.
Right.
And especially in the city manager system, then it's on us to go find a new town manager.
Sort of. So here's the thing to keep in mind that is with BOMA, with the town administrator, that was a made up position. That's a created position. We could go months and months and months without it being filled because the mayor is ultimately the chief executive. Okay. Under manager commission system, you really can't function a minute without a town manager because everything is invested into that position. And so the town really cannot function without that. So you have to at all times have that position filled. There can't be gaps. So if your town manager quits today, you're going to have to meet and immediately name somebody to be an acting or interim town manager. You can't say, well, we need to advertise and take a couple of weeks. Like, you won't be able to do that. You can advertise and take a couple of weeks to start looking toward a permanent replacement, but you can't have gaps like we've had with the town administrator.
Can we guide a process? I don't even know if I agree with what I'm about to say, so I'm just saying it out loud. But can we guide a process where you are kind of mentoring or working with somebody that could step in when, given the situation where we needed to fill the position interim fast, you already, like whoever you are, whoever's in your position, is mentored someone well enough that we could say, hey, can you, we need a couple weeks to find somebody, another interim, can you be our town interim for now?
That should happen, and that's what I'm familiar with as well. that should happen, yes.
Okay. Do we need to codify that in any way, or is that just, again, another informal?
Yeah, I think that's, I don't know that there's any language that, I mean, that's just, that's a direction that, that you give to your manager, I think, is that you, you know, need to have, you need to prepare a person or people or whatever. I think that that's...
Well, and that sets you up, too, if you need to take leave for some reason,
right,
or when you're on vacation, or, you know, all of those things.
Because when Scott left, you know, we asked you, like, the staff was all like, don't let me...
Right.
We really couldn't blame them at that point, but... I don't want to be in that... Having been in that situation,
right,
I don't ever want to have to be in that situation again.
You can't.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, it's no longer an option.
Okay.
I think y'all might be talking about two different types of scenarios. Like,
yeah.
Where somebody just is going on vacation or needs to leave, like, I think it's totally fine for Donald or whoever to fill that position to appoint somebody to sit there in touring to take that role. But, you know, the legal brain is thinking of the bizarre scenarios where you're missing a city manager because somebody died or somebody quit and throw their hands up, like, you know, 2 days after a city meeting, so you've got a whole month before you have another meeting and no way to operate. So
I
think
that's
where a resolution or our ordinance, sorry, could come into play, because under the state law, y'all have that power to appoint somebody to fill that position. So that is directly given to y'all to fill the replacement of the city attorney or city manager, sorry. So you have that authority if you want to go ahead. The reason I had a problem with the ordinance that he drafted that's in the packet is because it's taking that authority away from the board and giving it
that
to somebody
to me.
Else.
Yeah, I got that. And can we
so
put
basically,
it on a list of our later things to do to figure out?
It's almost like you... I mean, another way that you could potentially do it is to assign a certain position to be almost like the assistant city manager. That's
maybe it's a
deputy manager. But I think Corey's guidance is to assign it to a position, not to an individual.
She's right, though. We are talking about two different scenarios. I was like, while we're on this topic, let me do this. But again, we're not going to decide all of this, but that's something that we probably need to get to pretty quick.
Yes, absolutely. These next two are just weird. You have to bond your town manager and anyone else who is substantially involved in handling town funds. I've identified the town recorder and the finance director as individuals who would need to be bonded as well. The one following that is the resolution actually approving the surety bond. This cannot appear on the same... This has to follow that one. So this one actually will not appear on your first meeting. It will come at a little bit later time. You've got to first do the ordinance authorizing it, and then you can do the resolution to pay for it. Yeah. The next one is adopting and enacting a personnel handbook. Here's what I will tell you. The reason I went ahead and put this on, this is one that would just normally carry over, but we have some changes that we're going to propose to you right off the bat. And Misty has been working on those. Do you want to preview now, or you just want to wait till October 1st? You ready? You want
to
come talk?
Well, wait. If everybody doesn't want to preview, I would like to know before October 1st what
yes.
we're
going to do. I would too, but I don't know that we necessarily have to discuss it. Can she just send it to us in email?
We want to do that. We want to send it out in advance.
It was very minor changes.
It's it's nothing terrible. I will tell you, I'm going to ask for an additional holiday for town staff. We're short one holiday compared to a lot of our peer cities, so we'd like to get one more in.
And take
else?
Two holidays.
Yeah.
Have another one. I like holidays.
And some softball and a pony.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Was there anything else major?
Yeah. So we had an emergency leave policy. It was very vague. We changed that to bereavement because in emergency leave, grandparents are not covered. And if somebody's grandparent dies, they're gonna want to be off. And so we have run into a couple of employees who don't get paid when their grandparent dies. So we
change the emergency leave to bereavement leave. Added a couple relatives, allowing 3 days for those immediate family members, and then 1 day for my cousins, a little bit extended, but still giving them time.
Vacation accrual.
Vacation accrual we used to do on July 1 every year, meaning when an employee started, they had to wait a whole year. We have started accruing that now, and then changing our user lose from 4 weeks to 6 weeks, because we have police officers who lose every year because we've been so short staffed, they can't take all the time that they earn, and we hate that. We changed maternity leave to parental leave, and it only allowed up to 6 weeks. We matched what the state and most of the others around us are doing and allowing up to 16 weeks. Of course, that's unpaid unless you use your time, but just trying to make that a little bit more inclusive for everybody.
Can I, quickly following up on that, just if you don't know the labor laws, we are not subject to FMLA because we do not reach the number of employees, the minimum number of employees. So we have to use a patchwork of other policies to make up for what FMLA would provide if we were covered
by.
What
is the threshold for that? I forgot.
50.
50?
50.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we'll approach that number.
We're getting close.
We're getting close. Okay.
And then the biggest change is for all the powers were with the mayor. We just had to go in and change all the wording from the mayor to the town manager. So that's probably the biggest change in there. But there are very minor changes.
Is it fair to assume that legal has reviewed this as well?
Not yet. It's still a work in progress.
We'll get it reviewed before October 1st. Okay. The next one is appointing town manager to be the town's representative to the MPO. You can appoint somebody else if you'd prefer yourself or want to, a commissioner, but that's a job that town manager, in a lot of cities, the town manager does function in that capacity.
No way, I changed my mind.
I was the only non-mayor, non-town administrator in the building, so it was weird. You could tell they were just like, well, you're not a mayor, and you're not a administrator.
The heck are you doing here?
Yeah.
So just to let you know, we have not had representation on this board for the last couple of months. Derek sort of stepped down from it, assuming that it would go to me, and the mayor never actually, he has to go through a little bit of a process with the MPO to make that appointment, or otherwise they won't let me come. And we never reached that point. So fortunately right now, MPO business is down just a little bit, so I don't think we've missed a whole lot, but we have not had representation for the last couple of months. Diana handles the technical coordinating committee now. I handed that over to her when she started. She's doing a great job with that.
Wait, what's the technical coordinating?
That's an advisory committee that basically makes recommendations to the transportation or the executive committee. So it's made up of planners and engineers for the most part. It's much more fun. But I don't think they get invited to the Christmas party.
Yeah. We'll have to have you do
your own. The next one, this is one that we had started with BOMA, and I think we're ready to move forward with it, and that's just an ordinance that's going to establish a capital improvements program. So the big part here is down in section, so first of all, there never was agreement with BOMA on what constitutes a capital cost. I have plugged in $10,000. I gave specific criteria here. Planned infrastructure improvements and other capital expenditures intended to last for more than 1 year and having anticipated costs in excess of $10,000. Now that does not include vehicles except for work vehicles and fire department vehicles. Other vehicles would not be included in that. So I've set $10,000. I think some people on BOMA thought that was too low. We can go higher if you would like. And then section six, which is the amount of funding that you want to start your CIP program with. Those are the two big parts of this. We can go as high as 5. If they do the 75% threshold as opposed to the 100% threshold, you could go as high as like 5. It's a little over $5 million, I want to say. Does that sound right? I think that's right.
I can actually send you guys based on where our fund is today and what that would realistically.
If you want to do the 100% match, keep the general fund matching 100% of the reserve, then it would be closer to $4 million that you could put into your capital improvement fund. That's something I don't expect us to settle today, but we can definitely think on that more between now and the first.
This has to go in on the first?
No, it doesn't have to.
This is something I would like to have a workshop about before.
Okay.
Because
I agree. There's
a lot to
do. Want
to
talk more about it? Yep. We can definitely do that. So let's pull.
I don't want to wait too long because there's a lot to do with this, but we won't wait that long. I just want a chance to.
Well, it takes 2 readings, though. We can make changes from first to second reading. So does it delay the progress?
Well, so this is my concern. My only concern about delaying it would be that, yes, it takes 2 readings, and we actually probably, if we want next year's budget to include capital projects, I've got to get a committee together and get started on the work.
Right.
And so,
yeah. So meeting, workshop, meeting for final reading.
You can do it that way. You want to do it that way? Meeting, workshop, meeting.
Because I need to understand it better too, but we still have.
Well, we've only got like a week and a half before the first meeting, so I'm not sure where we'll stick that workshop we tried to do it before the first.
The first reading would be October 1st, and then we would have a workshop.
In between.
Because this doesn't actually pass until we read it twice.
Right.
So, I mean, you're talking. Right.
And you can pass it as is, you know, you can make a decision on the first reading, and then, like she stated, after your work session and on second reading, you can make minor changes to the ordinance. Like
the dollar amount could get changed at the second reading.
Yes.
Okay. That's fine. We'll do that.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but between now and October, October 1st for the first meeting, we can research it then, too.
Because you're going to send
us. And make changes in the meeting.
And
okay.
I can even send you guys.
Okay.
It should be posted on our site, I believe, but I'll include all that, just so you have all the numbers that go to it.
Okay.
And I liked your initial 20-40% range, on the low end and the high end, but I understand to introduce this, being a little safer.
20-40%? Tell me.
Of our annual budget, how much are we allowed to keep in the general fund?
Like, you're saying 20-40%?
Yes, was based on the studies.
It was exactly that. It was based in comparison to other municipalities, counties, and otherwise. The general, most of them do like a specific 30%, 20.5%, we've seen a lot of those. There was Murfreesboro, for example, did a range. And so that's where we kind of brought the idea of the range. We like that this way gives a little more flexibility. You don't have to set on a certain percentage. You can, go as low as 75%, but you can be as high as 100% and somewhere in between.
We're trying to be a little conservative just because of the financial climate right now, and so that's why we set those higher.
Is there a GASB standard that addresses it, or is it just completely up to us?
It is up to you guys. It does follow the GASB, but as far as the range goes, that's up to you guys. There was one that even set it as low as, a month or two.
Right.
So we've seen all sorts of scenarios, and we were trying to just show what those would look like over time.
A month is, wow.
There are some.
That just creates extra work for you in the long run.
That is not recommended by
me.
We've seen some very drastic scenarios, and we try to just put together different scenarios based on ranges and present that to you based on the real numbers. This way you guys can determine where we're best at for, starting.
The next one is a resolution, so this would just be one reading to go ahead and get a capital improvements program advisory committee in place. And if you go down to section two, you'll see these are the people I recommend be on this committee: the town engineer, the planning director, the finance director, the fire chief, the police chief, and then four, we're gonna replace citizens with Nolensville residents. Is that okay? Yes. Nolensville residents, selected by the board. And that would be our group that would meet throughout the year, probably on about a quarterly basis, but as we get toward the end of the year and toward the beginning of the budget year, they would meet much more, have to meet much more frequently than that. But this is the group that would evaluate capital projects, figure out where they, which horizon they fit on. We'll probably do something like a 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year type horizon, and then make those recommendations back to you on how to adopt the program.
Where did the number four come from?
I made it up. I try to avoid even numbers of people on committees and commissions. You could choose six. You could choose 38. How many ever?
Are you afraid of six because it's too many people? Because four, if a couple are missing, and.
Yeah, no, six is okay. What I don't want to happen, here's what I don't, one of the things I don't want to happen is for technical experts to be overwhelmed to where they become a minority on a committee, and then we're having to come to you as staff and say, yeah, the committee recommended this, but there are technical reasons why you shouldn't do that or this or whatever. And so that would be my only concern, but ultimately it's up to you however you'd like to configure that.
What if we did five Nolensville residents and a commissioner? Because I do think we should have a commissioner present on this committee as well, just like we do for planning commission, right?
So the deal when you put a commissioner on a committee is there's always the possibility that commissioner, it's going to happen. You have one commissioner who has more knowledge and so is able to approach things at a different, very different angle than the rest of the commissioners. And that, I know with planning commission, it's one of the reasons why we don't have planning commissioners meet with applicants and meet with staff during like pre-application conferences, because you shouldn't really have one who has inside knowledge that the others lack.
That makes sense.
That's just my experience. I don't know that there's anything legal behind it. It's just sort of, there is with BZA because it's a quasi-judicial board, but that's just sort of been my experience in the past.
What about public works on this committee?
Did I miss them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're supposed to be there. Sorry. That was totally over an oversight.
I have a question about how...
So three citizens then.
Or five.
Now we can have... Citizens.
Yeah, to make it a number.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, adding public works, absolutely. It's a good catch there. I don't know about adding more citizens right now. I think we're trying.
Just to keep that off. That's the reason why we.
I like three. This.
Could you say up to?
Yeah, we could say up to five citizens. That way, if we don't have the interest, we can at least try to get two or three on there. And the odds, when you have more people, the odds that the vote's going to come out even are not real high anyway.
One thing, though, that, let me think through this. The one thing, though, is making sure that this committee, the town feels like they are represented on this committee, and only three people, I think you're going to say, that's just three, I mean, three people isn't that many, and so at least having five citizens on there, to me, four seems small, five at least, because like five citizens were chosen to be on this committee. So.
I'm fine with the number. I mean, wherever we think it needs to fall. We clearly have a lot of engagement in the town, so I don't think we're going to have trouble finding people willing to do it.
But this is still just a committee. As far as they provide recommendations to the board
right.
to make decisions.
Voting.
Right. So they don't have direct access to spending the dollars,
right.
But they recommend how to spend the dollars.
Right. Okay.
How do y'all see that playing out? That's my question. Is this board, is this committee going to vote, make a formal recommendation that's then presented to the commission, and then the commission can take it or leave it, kind of? Or is it they're just going to meet and discuss, and then
we haven't even
talked to them?
We haven't even touched on how we're going to appoint our committees yet and what that process is going to look like. This is just one committee of many, so that's actually a pretty big question that I don't think we're solving today.
So the way that that it's actually worded right now is that this committee will provide a recommendation to the town manager. Now, ultimately, the committee should appear in front of the board and give their voice as well. But ultimately, because the town manager is who's responsible for presenting a budget to the board every year, this committee really should be making its final formal recommendation to the town manager for inclusion into the budget that gets presented.
And are all your department heads here good with the additional time for this, I assume?
Extra pay,
please. I just want to, it's something extra, right, that we're asking for. So it is. Okay.
Yeah, I've talked with probably half of them.
Okay.
It's the half that aren't in the room.
The others are just on the spot today.
No, I mean, I think that all of the people named here recognize the very important role that they have in planning capital.
Well, and I would imagine
projects.
They feel like it gives them that voice to make sure that these things get put in the
right
bucket. Okay, all right. I just want to make sure.
Okay, so now we're going to get out of organizational. These last few are not part of organizational stuff, but these are ones we do want to get to you. The first one is requiring your approval for the town to make grant applications. This is an issue Monty, Christina, and I have dealt with for the last few months, where we have committees and citizens out seeking grants, and they have been very successful, which is great, except for they have obligated the town to certain things without the town's approval for making those obligations. The most recent one, we got one. Congratulations, they did a great job. They got a grant, but it's a matching grant.
Yeah.
And the board never approved paying a 50% match on that grant.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I think I missed this one.
Yeah. So our process, and you can check with all of our peer cities, they all go through the same thing. You need a resolution up front for a grant application, and then the grant application actually needs to be made by the town. Citizens and committee members can help put those together. They can actually write it, but it ultimately needs to be signed off by the town. And then we will, after that, put a resolution in front of you. We've been skipping some steps along the way. So we need a resolution approving the grant application, and then after the grant is awarded, you need to pass a resolution accepting the grant. We've been skipping that step as well. So we need to sort of formalize that process just a little bit.
Okay.
And that's what this does.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Maybe we need that step-by-step on the website. Here's what you do first.
Okay, and then this one is, okay, I'm gonna hit you with the hard stuff. One of the things that always bothers me with cities and towns, and as you know, I'm not a trained administrator or manager. It's just not my background, so I tend to be a little bit more blunt and forthright with you than maybe somebody who's more polished with an MPA would be. When budgets get cut, typically employees are the first people to take the hit. We say they're the backbone of the town, they do the work for the town, they keep the town running, yet when we need to cut a budget, the first place we go is to the employees. And that happened this year. Our employees are paid generally under market rate. Our benefits package sucks, as we've discussed already. A very meager, modest, small amount of money that the town would give to employees at the end of the year ended up getting cut out. I would like to get that back in, and I will tell you where it will come from. Due to the efforts of our employees going back and looking over outstanding bond fees that have been allowed for years and years and years to not be collected and to stack up, bond extension fees, our employees, namely Joel Cook, who has stepped out, but we've collected over $50,000 that is unallocated, that was unaccounted for, that was unplanned, unanticipated. And so due to his hard work, we've put $50,000 back into the town's coffers over the last few months. I personally don't think it's too much to ask that you allocate $10,000 for end of the year gifts to supplement people's income. So that's what we're asking for you to return back to the employees with this ordinance.
What does that look like per employee?
About $300. I'm sure we'd be happy to take more if you wanted to say something.
That's why I was asking the question. Like, you know, I mean...
In the past, the town, Misty probably has more details on this. Some of the town leaders thought it was a good idea to do some kind of weird scale. And so certain people got higher bonuses than others at the end
so
of the year.
The less you made, the more bonus you got, which kind of excluded your longer term because they make higher. And so they would get $50 to $100.
They were trying to make up for the fact that they're not paying you correctly all throughout the year.
Yes. Bingo.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly what the thought was.
So what I would like to do, we have about 31 employees right now, roughly. We could have up to 32 or 33 because we've got a new police officer starting. So by the end of the year, we could have about 33, which is where 10,000 came from. That would allow $300 evenly for all employees, not discriminating against whatever one's income level is.
And this is just for this year? Like, mm-hmm. It's something that we change every year based on what's going on economically?
It's a budget line item every year. Mm-hmm.
So this would be the only year we would see this?
Unless we decided to do it again if we had enough money to do it again.
Well, it would be incorporated next time into the budget
right.
as opposed to
right.
a separate.
Which it was this year. It was incorporated into the budget, but it was pulled out.
Yep, we're... This is like a company, right? You want to retain your employees.
Yeah.
You want good benefits.
Can
you want bonuses.
Especially the one in 50,000.
You should get triple and software.
That one has, and I hate that Joel's not in here, but he has worked very, very hard on that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And that is... that puts Joel in an uncomfortable position of having to go sometimes head-to-head with very powerful, wealthy, important people, but he has done that, and he's done it very well.
Before we move on, because, I mean, can we talk about the amount? Is everybody comfortable with the amount, or can we look at maybe doing 500 per employee? That would only be 16.5.
I mean, we net, I know it's not profit, but... $900,000 this year, close to a million. What's $6,000?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think 500 says a lot more than 300.
Yeah, I mean,
since we have it available,
I'm not opposed to it at all. I would hope that the recommendation would come from Donald or finance to make sure that the overall budget, because
right.
I have not gone through all the details.
So just take a look and see, because I think that would be...
Will do.
Okay.
Okay.
Counselor, yeah, while we're on that topic, just to give you guys a heads up as well, I know recurrently over time, and we have a recurring charge if we get new software, you know, that's expected. We do have funding that is available to us through the CARES grant, and they gave us a just shy of $41,000 as an advance, a 30% advance to cover any kind of expenses due to COVID that we need to update and change. And software is one of them that they will cover. So
this year,
implementing new software, there's going to be a bigger cost than what we'll see recurring because of the one time and the data conversion and stuff. But all that will get covered and reimbursed from the CARES.
And so that takes us to those last two, which I don't have handouts on those, but that's the accounting, permitting, and court software, and allowing us to, allowing the mayor to enter into a contract for that. We are waiting on the contract, right? We do not have the contract yet. That's why I don't have it in front of you. But this is that Tyler software that's been spoken of by several department heads earlier. What's the, do you remember the cost off the top of your head?
Recurring is somewhere in the 40s, I want to say. But when you break it down by department, it's like about $9 in recurring for finance, about $6,500 for HR. And so from the department's point, it doesn't look as crazy as it does kind of grouped up. One-time cost, I think, was upward of almost 70, and that's what we get covered by our grant.
That's cool. Okay.
Which is,
that's great.
Which will be really cool. It moves us from an on-premise platform, which we have today, to a cloud-based, web-based software. So that helps with the flexibility of doing software. We can't really have our on-premise software on our laptops. We can't have it in a secure way as it needs to be, but where we should be on more of a web-based, cloud-based software. And so we are fortunate that that would get covered. We have a few other costs that we pull together to submit for coverage. We have to update some of our IT stuff, and we're looking at getting that done as well to be covered.
So with the new technology, then it sounds like it would allow you all to be in a position and that you, if you had to, you would be able to work remotely, right?
Yes, which a lot of our positions
okay.
today are not able to do.
Okay.
Especially that a lot of our processes are just so paper and manual, like even timesheets or just purchase recs as paper.
Right.
Whereas we could just enter in the system, it goes through a chain of approvals, and you know, whether you're here or wherever, you can respond to it from your email. The other really neat feature that this new software has, like I mentioned earlier, the open checkbook kind of features where people can dive in by fund, by department, however you want to see revenues, expenditures at your disposal. And it also allows us an application that citizens will be able to download. So it'll kind of promote the citizen engagement a little bit better. And you know, we'll have a calendar of events. The guy even told me in the demo, you can report a pothole directly into this application and it will get notified straight to us. So it's a little bit of everything. Reporting incidences, applying for permits, anything is right within this app. So it really makes it user friendly and very engaged.
That's awesome.
So have we already gone through the RFP process for this particular software provider?
We went out for some quotes. We were kind of limited just because of our size, the town size and our employee size. And so a lot of the softwares are built based on your population and your number of employees. So it kind of limited us to like about three. And we sat everyone in with some demos just to make sure. Because like I said, our current software, we're all on today. And so we wanted to see if one of those options was something that would work for everyone across the board to keep it centralized, just to eliminate any drop-off and intertwining information. That was like our happy medium. One of them was way out of the ballpark with costs. The other one was right alongside Tyler, but didn't have the amount of capabilities that the Tyler one ended up offering for all of our departments.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be great.
Visually, too, it's very nice. I mean, one of the kind of sad things I almost want to say, one of the softwares, this one particularly, walked us through what their dashboard looked like over the years and how it's changed. And the kind of wrapped, and it's really not that funny, but ours is stuck in back in 2007, I want to say, is what our interface looks like. And so there's been many layers of updates for this one since then. And
right.
Just kind of seeing, you know, wow, we really are way behind on, you know, where we should be and what we can produce and generate. It's definitely a big
one. Very good. That takes us through these. Does anybody have any questions about any of those?
About the October 1st meeting?
Yes.
just think that we should be prepared possibly, and like I said, this is somewhat of a layered question, and I understand now that I have, you know, some legal counsel to help me, but we should be prepared that in that evening, maybe we don't end up with the mayor by the end of that meeting, because I'm not sure what exactly that entails. And so if we don't end up with the mayor, we don't have appointments for a planning commission yet. If we don't have a planning commission yet, we may not have a meeting for a planning commission. And so they're just things to consider.
Can I speak to the planning commission for just a speak to that for just a second? I actually had some boards and commission stuff on here. The planning commission, just to sort of let y'all know where we are with the planning commission, we've had two members resign, so we have 7 out of 9 still on. Some of you may know, because I've shared with some of you before, I have some concerns about our planning commission right now. Planning commissioners, per our local ordinance, planning commissioners are appointed for 3-year terms. We have several who have served way past 3 years, and we have no record of reappointment at any time. That opens up a lot of doors and questions. We will need to resolve the planning commission issue relatively quickly, whether you end up reappointing people, appointing new people, whatever the case may be. It needs to happen pretty quickly to make sure that we do have a legitimate commission serving.
Question about that.
Yeah.
So obviously mayor is the first thing on the agenda for October 1st. I know the mayor appoints the planning commission. Does that at all have to be done in a public meeting, or is it just that we appoint a mayor and then the mayor leaves the meeting and says, okay, you're on
the
planning
commission? No, the mayor needs to make those appointments in a meeting, and then the board has to vote on their representative to the planning commission as well. I don't know that I need resolutions for those. Those are just on motion, I think.
Yeah, there'll be motions. A lot of appointments are, and I'll have to check and see which about the planning commission, but a lot of appointments, the mayor makes an appointment and the board makes a ratification of that appointment. So most of that's like designated in state law, so I'll see if the planning commission actually has to be ratified by the board or just straight appointed by the mayor. That might be one that's just appointed
by
the mayor.
Does this board's representative on the planning commission need to be determined? Because I mean, there's the mayor, and the mayor's designee, and then there's one of us.
Right.
So does that have to get added to October?
So here's the deal. You've had two members resign. So we have a 9-member board. We're down to 7. Automatically, with this new government, the mayor's designee is done, and the BOMA designee is done. So we're now down to a 5 out of 9. If one person doesn't show up to the October, is it 13th, 14th meeting, then we don't even have a quorum to conduct business.
I think the mayor silently moved his designee to one of the people resigning. So it might be 6.
You're right. But we're down to 6. So if two were to not show up, and out of a 9-member board, that happens frequently that two people won't show up. So we could be in a situation where the October meeting we can't meet a quorum. If we
so
don't
let me ask a question.
Make some
then.
Appointments.
If we make the decision about mayor October 1st, and then the mayor, whoever that person is, how will they be able to make those appointments in time for that meeting if we haven't? So are you going to then, I guess, put something out requesting citizens' interest, go ahead and start gathering resumes and whatnot before the October meeting?
We can.
Because I think if we want to make sure that, you know, that these things are done, it would be wise to have some of that information ahead of time.
We definitely can do that. The most important thing will be for the board to select its representative and get that slot filled.
Okay. Does that
quickly.
Have an agenda item?
I'll put it on the agenda, but it'll just be a motion. It won't be a resolution or an ordinance.
Okay. See, I agree with Lisa, but I have a different solution, which is to delay or cancel the planning meeting altogether.
In October?
In October.
Yeah. Can we do
and
that?
Really all committee meetings.
You cannot do that, as I believe we have a plat submitted.
We
have two plats submitted. Plats have to be reviewed within a certain time frame of the time that they are submitted, and they've been submitted and accepted. So we have, is it 40, does 45 days sound right? 30 days, 45 days?
I'm always going to 30, though.
I know. I haven't had this situation in a while, but they have to be acted upon, or they automatically are approved per state law. So, and that's never a good idea. Yeah.
No, we don't want that. Okay. So it sounds like then maybe we need to...
Well, we also have these planning commission members who are expired and who have never been ratified after their terms. And so that in itself also causes concern where they're not actually on the board right now. Or the commission.
Yeah. Which means on October 1st, when the mayor gets appointed, the mayor then needs to
make those appointments quickly.
All Monday night.
Well, I think
whatever night.
And these folks who are past their term need to be removed on October 1st or reinstated.
It depends on how they were appointed in the first place. Probably they were appointed for their term or until their replacement was selected. So I don't know how they did that in the past, if they just made a motion, or probably nobody knows.
They weren't even all necessarily announced at a board meeting.
No.
They were just sort of made.
Just for me.
So it sounds to me like, and I guess this is a question for you, Corey, is that because we're changing our charter, does that unseat the Planning Commission members by itself, or do we need to have like a resolution that does that, and that we reappoint, you know, whoever, once we've got the mayor decided? Or how do we, because what I don't want to have happen is some people get removed, some people don't. Like, it should be consistent from my perspective, the way that we approach it, because otherwise you don't want the mayor to be put, whoever the mayor's going to be, you don't want them to be put in a position of showing favoritism of some and not, you know.
Right.
That's not a good way to start this off.
So I understand the question and the concern. This is going to be the question that y'all asked a million times over. It's everything carries over one of your ordinances. Everything carries over that's not inconsistent with the new charter. So it's going to be each time you're doing something, we're going to have to look, okay, is this consistent with the City Manager Commission charter, or is this inconsistent with the City Manager Commission charter? Okay. So that, I'll have to look at that specific question by itself and give you that answer. But that's the framework.
Well, and if we discover that they've already served a 3-year term,
right,
it's an opportunity for us to consider, do we want to, I guess, is it ratify them for another 3-year term? Is that allowed?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, okay. There's nothing that I...
So it's not a term limit, it's just this is what they're committing to.
There are some people in town who believe that we have a term limit. We have not been able to find record of anything like that ever being passed.
Are there bylaws or anything for the Planning Commission?
There are bylaws for the Planning Commission, and I do not believe that the bylaws discuss that.
Okay. So it sounds like we need to be ready to pick a mayor and establish the Planning Commission October 1st, because things will pass if we don't have the meeting. Mm-hmm. And we can't have the meeting unless we get that established, because there's a lot of issues with the current makeup of the members, right?
Well, let me just say, final plats will pass.
Right.
Rezonings, things like that will not. But there is an automatic, the plat's approved. If you've accepted it and we have a chance to review it, we have comments on it. But if we don't act on it, it's approved.
Well, let me bring up two other points, and maybe I don't know what plats are specifically submitted, but I mean, we just had a historic flood, and you know, one of the items that I'm going to be drafting and possibly putting on the agenda is, I don't know the specific legal term, but maybe it's an emergency moratorium on, or some sort of other classified action on all parcels in flood zones or adjacent to parcels that are in flood zones, so that we are not going farther than what we should be with, in light of everything that just happened last week.
Or, it kind of to piggyback on that, is, are we allowed legally to place a moratorium in place in order for us to establish the planning commission. So maybe it's a 30-day or a 60-day
not
because
on,
we're establishing a new government.
Not on plats. The I don't think you can hold up the plats once they've been submitted.
Do we know? I don't even know which plats these are. So
it's a 2-lot subdivision, and
it's the Mulpin thing. It's the Scales Farmstead, and Henry maybe.
Oh, Henry Farm
property, and then we have a PUD proposal that won't be affected.
Okay.
But anything we would want to pass still takes 2 readings. So you're talking 60 days before we're even going to affect minimum.
No, it's an emergency though. That's what we talked about. Like, is it really 30 days or is it not?
But you still have to have authority. I mean, we're bound by our charter and state law. So we as a board can't do things if it's not in this or in state law. So you'd have to find the justification for doing that and still follow.
Agreed.
So just to emergency, just say it's an emergency, you can't necessarily.
And as we discussed a few months ago, a moratorium, so there are certain things that will lead a city to be sued, and a moratorium is very first on that list. There are some very specific criteria that you're going to need to establish before you do that. And so I would be very interested in hearing how, based on what you just said, I'll be very interested in hearing how you intend to do that.
Totally appreciate it, understood. Not trying to be an obstructionist, but also just in light of the recent events in the town, like I don't want to let certain things through that are going to have, you know, be underwater or going to cause issues.
Everything was underwater.
There was a lot of stuff underwater. Not everything, but a lot of stuff. Yeah, I agree.
You said, so Henry, Scales, and then a PUD?
Henry Scales, there's a 2-lot subdivision as well, and then we have a planning and development that's been submitted.
And the PUD, you said it would be unaffected. What does that mean?
It's not automatically approved.
Right.
I guess that's
right.
What I mean by that.
Gotcha.
It's not automatically approved. Because there's not that 60-day you must act or 30-day or whatever it is that we can't remember right now.
So if there were any issues getting the PC up and running, that one specifically would not, they would just have to resubmit the next time that there was
just
a... Gotcha, okay.
And I don't know if your relationship with these people, the applicant could sign off on a delay if that's something they would be willing to do.
Yeah, so they are entitled under state law for their project to be heard within a certain time frame. We'll have to look up what that time frame is, but it's not an automatic approval. It's a different thing. The applicant could just withdraw it
or sign off on a delay.
Yeah,
like, yeah,
right.
To allow the planning commission
to
be in place and everybody be sure that it's.
And I would think legally, it would seem that that would be a rational and reasonable reason to, it's not like we're trying to stop something from being done other than we want the right people looking at it to approve it, right? So
that one I don't think that one would be difficult to deal with because there's some indication that they may not actually seek a vote on it at the planning commission anyway. They may want to present it more for informational purposes initially.
Which one?
The PUD. Uh-huh. So that one we could probably work some time.
But you have to have their permission, I guess. That's
right.
Right. Well,
yeah,
sure.
You need that in writing.
Yeah. Okay. So a moratorium is not possible then in order for us to reseat the planning commission, even if it's just time to collect, you know, resumes and whatnot, and there's no, we would end up approving these without anybody looking at them, essentially, if we did.
I think that's what with the plats, that is what would end up happening. They would end up getting approved by default based on state law.
But what about new development if the entire board has the intent to look at the land use, look at the zoning, consider the current flooding and updating our flood zones? Is there a basis on
so
the moratorium?
What we talked about a few months ago is we need a problem or criteria established, like what is it that we're looking at. So a scope, we need an outcome,
mm-hmm.
what is it that we desire to get in the end. Mm-hmm. We need a time frame, and generally with moratoria, my experience has been they're generally done for 6 months at a time. That doesn't, you can extend them another 6 months, but it, with my, I've worked through three moratoria in my career, and they've always been done for 6 month increments because that's what has typically held up legally. And then you need to be able to address projects that have already been submitted and or approved. How are you going to deal with those projects? So those are the things that, in my experience working with attorneys in across three different cities, those are sort of the standards that have always been drilled into me for a moratorium. Any input on that? No. You probably haven't dealt with a moratorium down in Mount Pleasant. I don't know.
Dealt with moratoriums, but not the ones that are put in by the city.
So that's, it sounds right. Like if we've got the problem, the scope, the time frame, which I think 6 months is more than enough time to do what we're wanting or why we're wanting to do this. And if we would agree to continue to process the deals that are already in process as we normally would, that would seem to be, it sounds like that's happened before, right? So there's precedent for that, at least.
There's definitely precedent for that. The biggest thing is going to be establishing your scope. And so where you start treading a little bit dangerous water, in my experience, has been if you just say a moratorium on development or a moratorium on building. That's where things get, because it's hard to tie a problem to a scope that broad. So you might say commercial development, or you might say a specific geographic area, proximity to a floodplain, whatever the case may be.
So it needs to be much more specific.
That's exactly what I was gonna say, that proximity to the 100-year floodplain, because I think we've had three in 100 years, right? Like we keep hitting.
In 6 months, we've had 300-year floods.
Right.
We can have Don give you a lecture on why we shouldn't call it the 100-year flood.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
The second component would be something similar, again, like a moratorium on our village, our historic overlay, to enact some changes before anything comes up for submission. So again, trying to get ahead, I'll be perfectly honest, there's properties up for sale, and I'm not really liking what I'm hearing in terms of what the plans could be. And let's just be honest, we've got to get ahead of some things pretty quickly. There's only a few key parcels here in town that have some substantial impact on what our town looks like, and I want to make sure that we give ourselves the time to manipulate what we need to in order to make it happen. So again,
so here's
not a particular development. Yeah. It's just I'm changing our guidelines.
Everybody always wants to go straight for a moratorium. It should be the very last thing that you should ever consider when it comes to development. The first thing that I would hope that you would consider, you need a planning commission that supports your values and that understands your directives and what you want done. So if you have that in place, between the Planning Commission and yourselves, the first answer is just to say no. When a rezoning or something comes to you, you just say no to it. There's no need to jump through a million hoops of a moratorium and lawsuits and all of the stuff that comes with it. You just say no to it. That is what I'm part of my job right now, and Corey's job is to keep you out of trouble.
And that's why I asked.
My concern with moratorium is always that you are marching yourself toward trouble, and I don't want you to end up there. It's obviously your choice as to whatever you want to do. And we fully respect that, and we'll do whatever it is that you ask us to do. But get a planning commission that aligns with your values, and use that planning commission as sort of your front guard to stopping or preventing bad development.
Absolutely, 100%.
That's what I would strongly encourage you to do.
And I'm specifically talking about items that are already permitted in some of those in the districts that I mentioned that maybe shouldn't be. You know, so it's not a change in zoning or a change in land. It's to again establish a change that may be made.
And if there, I was going to say, I think the workshop that you have planned is the October 17th.
That's community planning day.
Right.
So that's not a workshop necessarily for us to discuss the changes we want to make. That's just a chance for the community to come in and talk about, oh, I like this or I don't like this, or I'd like to see more of this. The workshop I have planned after the four training sessions is going to be something where we get you all and the planning commission together and talk about, you know, I've got a very detailed PowerPoint presentation to go through on here's what our comp plan says. And our comp plan does have small-scale commercial that covers most of the village and beyond. And I'm actually using that in the staff report I'm currently writing to say something doesn't fit. But we do have holes in the comp plan, and we do lack some detail. There's some places where it conflicts with the zoning ordinance or conflicts with things that heard you all say that we need to fix. I think it's not like... I'm not getting 15 submittals every month if we've got this pressure for development that's going on. So what we have, I feel like, can hold us to, if the Planning Commission will support it and not go, well, you asked for rezoning, so okay, we rezoned you, but we don't really like it, then don't rezone it.
There's no right to rezone.
Right.
Yes,
there's no right
not at all.
And
we have a comp plan that covers us to say this doesn't fit in this area, and we're telling you already it doesn't. There's no precedence to rezone anything through that village district to something else whatsoever. So we can hold that. And
we have to have people comfortable to say no.
Yes, that's a key. Planning commissions can get very caught up in they'd like to process something and find the... Here's in the site data chart, it says 1.25 and it should say 1.27, and they're not focused on the planning and say no. You do not have to approve things that come in and apply for something unless they meet our regulations, and a rezoning is not by right. So
can I ask about like a big giant elephant in the room? Is that I heard Robert talk about it during his campaign. I'd like for each of us to talk about, if each of you are mayor, what's your personal, here's how I would put together a planning commission? Because I'd rather talk about that today than try to pick a mayor and then find out. So,
Sure.
In my opinion, every position on a planning commission should be discussed and talked about, and a pseudo vote should be taken. Because we can't officially do that, but if it was me, I would want to build consensus that do we want this person on the planning commission if we're hearing, no, not really, no. It's like, okay, well, then I would expect the mayor not to make that call and not to put them on the planning commission if everybody didn't agree with that.
And I'm very much would like to see applications with, you know, just full-on applications. I'd almost like to see some blind applications just to, they don't have to stay blind, but at the beginning, take them blind and go through them, and without any, like, knowing who it is and everything, and just kind of sorting through. That'd be something I'm excited about a new, like, direction planning commission, but I'm open. What about the rest of you?
You know, if I were in that position, I would most definitely want to see applications. That's why I was asking if we're going to go ahead and start collecting that information now. I definitely would not want to be making those appointments without input from everybody on the board. And if there is a strong no amongst one of us, then I think that person we need to go find somebody else. You know, whatever the no may, as long as it's not just I don't like them.
Yeah.
But you know, if there's a strong no of I think we've got too much of this experience already with the other candidates, or I think we need to have this diversity and this other person has this skill set diversity or whatever it is, then I think the whole benefit of having this commission is that we have the opportunity to set that precedent with this first round. And I think I think it would be great if whoever is in that mayoral position does it as a group discussion.
I like what you all are saying. I would also add that the group would include some staff.
For sure.
Because I would like for you all to be able to help us figure out. There's things we don't know. Sometimes there's been several times where I'm like, well, you didn't ask, so I didn't tell you. I'm like, I didn't know to ask, so it's helpful. It's like if you all are in that process and can say, well, you also need to think about people that can do this.
I would agree with that.
Haley?
I don't have any disagreements with what everyone said, so I don't necessarily have anything to add in addition to what you all have described.
Well,
yeah, I'm not fully prepared to discuss today what I would or, what I would or wouldn't want to see happen, but all these ideas sound good.
The reality is state law trumps.
What do you mean? Like, collaborate.
We can all say that I agree with everything that everyone's saying, but at the end of the day, it's the mayor's choice.
Yeah.
Which is why I said be prepared that maybe we don't end up with a mayoral selection. Next month on October 1st meeting.
So for checks and signing,
we have to have somebody.
We're going to have to make that decision at the meeting.
Yeah.
I don't see how we can't and move forward.
I would say if you had any concerns about mayor power or things like that, that charter is going to explain what the mayor does and doesn't do, and really appointments is probably the biggest, you know, explosive power that the mayor has as far as. You know, it's, I hate to say this, but kind of figurehead for the city. It's the person that's signing the checks, and your CEO is the town manager, and the mayor is running meetings, and it's not something I think you'd be really afraid of. And if you look through the charter, it outlines it really well about exactly who has what power.
Wendy knows. We've been reading those powers for a year now. Very, very great detail.
I tell you what's there, what's not there, what people think there, what's not there.
There are, in addition to the Planning Commission, there are openings on several other boards and commissions as well. So if you want us to initiate an application process for Planning Commission, we will probably want to go ahead and do that for these other boards and commissions. BZA is in the exact same condition that Planning Commission is in. Those terms have not, they were never renewed. They were so that's a process as well.
And we do have a BZA application coming forward, and probably two, which is unusual, but I think we'll have two this coming
month.
That's
great.
So
I think a really critical thing that the town can be doing on our website is giving good descriptions of the types of people we're looking for and what it entails and all of that. Things that we can forward even to groups like Together in Owensville, who are, you've been asking us to have some diversity, and so can you help us recruit some diversity? So, but having the descriptions on that kind of thing come from the town is.
Yeah, we'll just pull it straight from the state law, I think would be the best way to do it, right?
Probably the only way to do it.
As opposed to, I really like tall people.
Right.
Tall people.
We need more tall people.
We have a shortage of tall people.
Right.
Joel, I'm not trying to make your brain explode, and you're going to want to hit me for bringing this up, but, and we're not doing anything about this for a while, but I do kind of want you to know where I was headed, where I left off with committees, just to the group. So with the committee structures, they were, speaking as candidly as I can, was, and Monty backed me up here, when you're in the meetings, those committees weren't getting communication and training. Like some of them were, some of them weren't. There was no consistency in the way we did committees. So I asked the board and like BOMA and staff, like, yeah, let's try to do something. So I tried to put together a system that could work, but it's very contingent on, I waited because right about the time, because my team was helping me, right about the time we were finishing it up, we were trying to decide the charter was going to change or not, and the whole point of restructuring, like, we had just put in an amendment that gave the committee appointments to all of BOMA, so I didn't want I wanted Bowman to decide, do we want committee members, can it be, do they have to be from in town, can they be from out of town? I didn't care, I wanted that to be a decision of everybody. Some of the discussion was, you know, how do you select them? What's the, there are several things that say, we have some recommendations in place. They are totally there to be discussed when we're ready to get to them. But for some of those committees, there's never been, there's not an appointment. There's strictly like people just show up and volunteer to town events, people just show up and
sure.
volunteer.
Right.
A couple of the committees, you know, Donald and I spoke, I think, you know, Trees and Trails, in my opinion, Donald agreed with this, that it should go to pedestrian, like bike and ped should be separated from beautification and have those be two separate, it's two separate skill sets and passions of people, so, or connectivity, I mean, you name whatever you want. All that to say, it's coming back at you. Some, we already went through other towns' applications to see and kind of put together an application. You're not gonna hurt my feelings if anybody wants to do it different. It's just, we have really underutilized our committees and they're gonna save us a lot of work. But now while we're putting these notices up on the, and like now is when we all can start recruiting,
mm-hmm.
just telling people, hey, we have some committees coming up and you are gonna be perfect, please apply.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can get some of those up and going pretty fast because there's a lot of work that they need to be doing right now. And you also have to decide if everybody, if we wanna take this, and this is probably a sooner than later decision, do we wanna roll everybody that's on committees over, or because we have this unique opportunity to start and have everybody, this is, in my opinion, I would like to take the fresh opportunity to say,
just reapply.
Blank slate, if you're on a committee, reapply.
Mm-hmm.
The commissioners can decide if they wanna weight it heavier because you've been on it before as experience, that's up to the commissioners, but everybody reapply, and it gives us the chance to not hurt anybody's feelings or just be more efficient about the way we do it. We have a town staff member assigned to each committee, and we didn't have that necessarily before, so there'll be, and so then the committees, the idea then is that the committee's staff representation is coming into a staff meeting and able to coordinate, well, here's what happened in our committee meeting, and so in the way that, in my kind of dream idea that I was thinking about for the, talked about the historic district committee, and in my head, because the historic district is a little bit of all of the, you know, it is economic development, it is connectivity, it is, I thought, one member of each of the other committees, it wouldn't be a permanent committee, it'd be a, because hopefully you're not revitalizing the historic, you're doing a bad job if you're revitalizing it forever, so, but, you know, so those are all things to be thinking about. Again, I'm not going to decide any of that today, but we do need to decide if we want to have a blank slate of committees, because otherwise people are just going to assume that we keep going. But we also don't want to create time gaps where the committees are vacant.
It sounds like you have some information in writing, or even have some problem. Maybe
I
wrote it down. Now you can send it to me.
Yeah,
send it to all of us so we can look at it. Because I think the other component of that is, we need to determine how many of these committees do we want. We can go committee crazy, and then that can get out of hand too.
Okay.
And it becomes too much to manage. And then the other thing I would say that I might work within the way that you've got this structured in your head is you take each chair from those committees, and they have a leadership meeting of the chairs of the committees.
Yeah,
is that in there? Okay,
good.
Together.
Okay. But again, I'm not I was just trying to get it to a part where, and we were kind of at the part where it was ready to go, but then we were not timing for it, so.
I would prefer that not to be addressed in October. I think the research can be done, but given the concerns with the Planning Commission, my preference would be to devote more time to that topic.
I agree with that. Here's the only thing we're going to have to figure out then is, town events is gonna be continuing to meet, I guess, and you know, so at least the idea of what we're going to do needs to be addressed to all the committees because we need to do it as a board.
Well, they should carry over though, right?
Yeah, they carry over. They're not inconsistent, right, with our charter. So let them carry over for now with the caveat that we're reviewing this and we may have some changes coming.
At
in
some
the next
point, we might
90
trigger,
days.
Yeah, we might
okay.
trigger this refresh.
Yeah,
when
I know that they're working on the veterans program.
Veterans Day parade.
Yeah, no contact me. Kind of over there right now.
would suspect there'd be a lot that persists through. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't expect this to be 90% new people, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So, but mm-hmm. just, I do like the idea of a full refresh, and but we'll tell them when it's coming. We'll give them warning when it's coming, and they should continue to meet until then.
I'm cool with that. Because I was working on it, everybody's asking me, do we stay on the seats?
Right.
Do we keep working? I definitely don't want to send mixed messages
right.
their way, and I definitely don't want to be the one that comes back to them and says, thanks for your work. Now we're going to have all of you reapply, and you may not be, you know, after you've just done this.
Well, I think the reapplication process for somebody who's existing on a committee could look simpler maybe than somebody who hasn't before. You know, we already have evidence of how they work, and you know what I mean? So I think it's how we communicate it.
Each one of these committees is probably going to be a different analysis. I mean, I hate to bog it down, but they're probably all authorized in a different laws and different ordinances and so on.
Well,
so,
about that.
They don't have any laws.
There's only one that was ever actually approved
Okay.
via it was a resolution,
yeah,
right?
It was a resolution.
Creating the design review committee is the only one.
Yeah, the EDC most recently was just the mayor approving an emailed list of names. So it was
So most of them were not formally established, and most of them don't have bylaws. Actually, none of them have.
Yeah, we work on half a blanket document.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you.
Okay.
Yeah. And just so you know, everybody on Trees and Trails resigned except for two people.
Oh, so. Really?
I need to update the website.
So I would just add this, that everybody that's volunteered throughout the years has worked very hard, and I think wholeheartedly has done everything they can to benefit the town. So when we talk about people reapplying and like restructuring, I hope that everybody, because I mean, this is recorded, right? And this is that everyone realizes that how much work has gone into all of that, because that's important to remind everyone of.
That's a good point.
Well, and that's why I say it should be a simpler process for somebody who's reapplying. They're essentially letting us know that they want to keep serving. They shouldn't have to go through a huge process for us, because we've already seen what they can do and that they have the spirit to do it.
This process wasn't triggered by the charter change, and now we want to pick who's on these committees. I think Wendy kind of spearheaded it and saw a need, and we all of BOMA agreed, and you took the lead on it, and now we're to the point where what are we going to do with the people on the committees? Are we going to refresh them?
Well, what spearheaded it was an ordinance that said the mayor no longer appointed every committee member.
Right.
And so when BOMA's appointing them, then you need to come back to BOMA and say, how do you want to do this appointment process? And that's where we are, is just trying to set the direction of the entire system. It's not these people. It's a system that we're putting in place. So
so we only have two members of Trees and Trails currently.
That's my understanding from the last meeting that we had. I haven't gotten official resignations from people, but they stated that in the meeting.
Can you help me better? I know that Trees and Trails does a lot of work. Can you share more about that and what that will mean over the next month or two if there's only two members?
I know Trees and Trails does a lot of work too, and they work at creating a map to show where our trails are, and we're going to have a lantern parade to raise money for Trees and Trails. That got canceled. They just didn't have enough people to do it. It just got confusing. They had only had a few people show up last year, and for the work they were putting into it, it just wasn't really carrying over. Because they don't have bylaws, it's been real difficult for me to get a handle on what is the direction they are heading in. What are they trying to do? So
right.
I sit down with them every month, and we pull out the plans that have been submitted, and we can talk about everything from, boy, we wish we had this huge big green open space here, and we need a crosswalk here, and they didn't follow the transportation plan or whatever, Well, we might talk about the lantern parade. It's not...
structured?
It's not structured. It's not cohesive. There is not a set of bylaws that says this is what you should do.
We didn't.
They aren't really officially appointed, so I'm listening to them and thinking, okay, I'm not real sure how to take the information you're giving me about trails and give it to the Planning Commission, because you're not an officially designated committee. You are citizens that happen to show up and look at these plans and talk about them. So I have just kind of integrated any information they may have enlightened me to into a staff report.
There's a lot to, they just didn't know any better because the way committees were, and so, but one of those things is we have an opportunity, if we keep that committee or we change it, to say, these people should not be reviewing site plans, you know, because
right.
we have staff to do that. At one time we didn't
right.
have staff,
right.
that's why they weren't
right.
doing it.
Right.
So it's not that they're not competent, they're great people, just as a precedent, they shouldn't be doing that, and we have the chance now to kind of reset that without it feeling personal or that kind of thing. The other thing that's part of the committee restructure is, do we, instead of giving each committee a budget, do we tie their budget, do we give the staff the budget, and the committee goes, like, it's part of that staff, like, so how we fund each committee will be part of that. So there's a lot of important questions that actually just, the stuff is just defaulted into whatever, and how we do it could really be a lot more efficient and get a lot more work done better.
Yeah.
Right, well, like Trees and Trails got trail markers, I know those are going up, so they've done some great work. I'm not saying they haven't. It's just, it's been confusing for me as a staff person to try and figure out how to integrate them without any real platform explaining their
yeah.
official function.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the budget issue, my intent, if whoever's here, their intent should be hopefully next year. Committee budgets do need to fall under departments. I do not like committees who Christina has no familiarity with submitting bills to her for payment without them having been vetted first. It's that's not her job.
And they don't
know
right.
to do that.
They're like,
right.
I put my budget together.
Right. So they every committee's budget really needs to be part of a department. And so Trees and Trails, for example, would probably fall with planning. And that way Diana would be accountable for their budget, would help them understand how much they have left, what they can spend, what items they were actually allocated for, and then Diana can sign off on those bills before they get paid by Christina. That's it's putting an unfair burden on our finance department to not have those vetted properly.
Well, and the volunteers shouldn't be in question either about, can I do this?
Exactly.
Can I not do this?
Right.
Whereas, you know, like, we need to provide that direction.
Right.
So.
And you
right.
will be asked to articulate what we just said about budget, because there is a lot of people who've said to me, you need to give blank committee a lot more, like whatever committee is their committee, just a bigger budget and let them go. And when you're thinking about it, you're like,
sure,
I can see why you're saying
that,
but here's why, like, here's the things you're not thinking about. So you've got to kind of be ready to know.
I mean, we have a finite amount of resources, so at the end of the day, it has to go through the budget process.
Okay, we've only run 1 hour and 10 minutes, so
that's not
too bad.
That's actually better than I thought. The
item that we skipped over is you will have to appoint a town manager, and I have served as town administrator since June. I'm willing to continue in a manager capacity, but I'm also perfectly at peace and understanding. Should you choose to go a different direction. But I did want to put that out there for
Ronnie's
you.
Ronnie's barricaded every door.
Here's what I would tell you if you do want to go with me. My contract was written in such a way that it covered being a town administrator. And there is a difference between a town administrator and a town manager. The level of responsibility is much, much greater under your new charter than it was. And so, not that I'm going to gouge anybody, because I don't do that, I promise I don't, but there will be some changes to, I would present you with a contract that would be somewhat different from the one that you previously approved. And most likely whatever I present to you is what I'm willing to do. I will give you the bargain, basement, rock bottom, whatever. So what I'm telling you is don't ask me to go any worse than whatever I present to you. And if those terms don't work, A-okay, no grudges, we'll part ways and everybody will be okay. Okay.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. Anybody else got anything? Awesome.
I would really add that I know we've talked a little bit about like talking to attorneys. I think the best practice is email Donald and have him email me. And then I respond to him and do that.
Can we talk I do want to talk just for a second about that. In the past we had Bob, who we held on retainer every month and paid a flat fee to. That was an arrangement from 24 years ago, and that is no longer the way of the world. I'm learning this very, very quickly. We now pay an hourly rate, and we can expect to do that from here on out until we decide at some point the town gets big enough and you decide we just need a full-time in-house counsel who we hire to be a town employee. So we will be paying an hourly rate. We need to, and I've already talked with our department heads about it, we have to be a little bit conservative. We aggregate items and send them all at one time, whatever it is that we need to do. To sort of be good stewards of the town's money. So, that is a good idea, I think. I will tell you that we have, following up on that, we do have ads out right now for, of course, the fire chief. That position closes October 4th, and we are getting great applicants. I want to reassure you, we are very, very happy with the applicants that we are getting. We have an ad right now for town attorney, which I hope Corey decides to apply for. She's getting a taste, so she'll decide. And we put that out with the Tennessee Municipal Attorneys Association earlier this week. And the way that we worded the ad, and Corey will tell us, that is so stupid, that's not how we work, but that's okay. We worded it that we would prefer a salary or retainer arrangement. However, we will pay a per hour fee for the right candidate. So that's sort of how I went about wording it, and all the attorneys may look at that and go, that's and then our last one, we do have building official / building codes director position. Have we posted it yet?
We have.
We're up and running. Okay. And as Don mentioned earlier, we do have interim coverage, so nobody's going to go without inspections. We do have folks to take care of those.
I would be interested to see in the hourly versus the retainer. Like, at what point are we approaching? Send us a warning email that says, "Hey, for this month, you're getting close to what you would have been paying for the retainer." Versus
so, FYI, Micah Wood, who y'all may remember, Micah. Micah has been serving as the planning director for Thompson Station for the last year because for whatever reason, the town administrator down there doesn't want to hire somebody. So instead they contract with Micah. But he told me that last year, the attorney's fees on the per hour went over $200,000. Which means they could have probably hired two full-time attorneys, right, Corey? They could have probably had two full-time municipal attorneys for that. So that is definitely something that we'll want to sort of track and keep up with and make sure that we're taking care of the citizens' money. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Do we have enough data on the amount of hours over the last year? I mean, it's probably just apples to oranges.
Yeah, so Bob did not give us a breakdown of hours. He was just a flat fee, and so we did not know how much time he would put in on a monthly basis. We do know he's currently charging us $300 an hour as he finished up the police case, and he is currently, per the mayor's direction, continuing to work on, I believe it's two other cases that we are being billed $300 per hour for.
What are the other two cases?
One was a person falling off of a sidewalk, and the other is the pool and tennis court. Oh gosh.
Stonebrook.
Stonebrook, thank you. I couldn't remember the name of the subdivision, Stonebrook.
So, yes. But now we need to figure out if we, what we do about that.
Yes.
October 1st, he works for you. It's your interest.
Right.
It's not October 1st yet, though.
Yeah. It just sounds so nice. I'm so glad. I'll be let us know what happens.
Isn't it when the Election Commission certifies?
The Election Commission certifies next Thursday, 24th.
And so at that point, would you be able to make a decision on that?
No. I cannot make nothing is enacted until your first
October
meeting.
October
1st. Yes.
It's my wife's birthday. It'll be a fun day.
Families are invited to your swearing in.
Please. Please have them come. It'll be great.
We may need the bearded baker to bring cake for her.
Also.
Say this again.
Do we have resolution added for authorizing the signatures for that?
No, we need to do one. Yeah. All right. Well, if everybody is good, we'll call it a day.
Thank you.
Thank you.